Tick tock, 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 Radio Attack. Eine andere Welt ist möglich.
Hallo und herzlich willkommen zur 1052. Folge von Radio Attack mit mir, Elias Bernhard. In den letzten Folgen haben wir uns mit der diesjährigen Sommerakademie beschäftigt, welche ein voller Erfolg war und einen jährlichen Höhepunkt im Attack-Kosmos markiert. Doch heute möchten wir einen Blick zurück auf ein weiteres Highlight des Jahres werfen, das schon etwas in der Vergangenheit liegt. Nämlich auf die Power to the People-Konferenz aus dem vergangenen März. In der heutigen Folge möchte ich Ihnen ein paar Ausschnitte von der Konferenz vorspielen, die unter Anführungszeichen leider noch nichts an ihrer Aktualität verloren haben. Doch was war denn genau die Power to the People-Konferenz und wer hat sie organisiert? Das erklärt es am besten Max Hollweg. Er ist Campaigner bei Attack und war Teil des Orga-Teams bei der Konferenz. Bevor ich Ihnen jedoch den Clip abspielen möchte, muss ich noch kurz anmerken, dass Teile der Ausschnitte nur auf Englisch vorliegen, da viele internationale Besucherinnen vor Ort waren. Doch jetzt Max Hollweg aus dem C1-Hörsaal der Uni Wien, wo das Opening-Event stattfand.
So, yeah, I want to continue. So, thanks a lot, everyone, that you're here. The Power to the People Conference is starting. We announced to spark alternatives, and that's what we want to do the next days. On our website, our slogan is, we want to finally bring the energy infrastructure as well as decisions about it into the hand of the many. And yeah, that's the motto for the next couple of days at the Power to the People Conference and during the European Gas Conference. We are here because a couple of groups and organizations started a process of thinking about what we can do, not only to protest, but also organize formats of discussions, of exchange, and spaces to connect before the actual European Gas Conference and the lobby event begins. So we started in November, December to sit together with a couple of organizations, people organized in NGOs, self-organized political groups from the different movements. And yeah, we were overwhelmed by the interests. And I can just quickly say who's actually behind it. It's Attack Austria, it's Rise Up for Rojava, it's the platform Radikale Linke and the organization, the group Zwangsräumungen verhindern, just that you know. So what's happening this weekend? We have workshops, panel discussions all around the topics, climate justice, energy crisis, neocolonial energy politics, as well as the cost of living crisis, inflation and militarization and war.
Anschließend begrüßte auch Hanna Braun, ein Vorstandsmitglied von Attack Österreich, den vollgefüllten Hörsaal und erklärte nochmal genauer, wieso die Konferenz als Protest zur European Gas Conference stattfand und was die zentralen Forderungen der Konferenz darstellten.
Hello, also from my side. So now again, why are we here? We are the counter summit to the European Gas Conference taking place next week. And we want to think and discuss democratic alternatives to our current profit-driven energy system. This is why we demand the following things. First, a responsible, just, and democratic energy system that prioritizes the needs of people instead of corporate profits, and that the voices of workers and society are heard and are the driving force for EU policies and in new energy projects. We insist on a local, renewable, and just energy system in Europe and beyond. And that no new gas projects within and outside of Europe are implemented and that no hydrogen will be imported. Furthermore, we demand a complete shutdown of the existing gas infrastructures and the redistribution of the energy industry's profits. Finally, we demand a complete debt cancellation for countries of the global south, as well as just reparations and the financing of climate justice. But how can we achieve our demands in a democratic and participatory way? In every workshop in the following days, we will discuss alternatives and strategies to overcome our current system. We ask you, everyone who's participating, to collect the outcomes of your discussions in a living document that will be circulated via the Telegram channel you've already seen.
Und um die ersten Notizen und Erkenntnisse in das angesprochene Dokument eintragen zu können, fand direkt am ersten Abend eine höchst spannende Podiumsdiskussion im Hörsaal statt. Die TeilnehmerInnen stammten alle aus verschiedenen internationalen Organisationen, die ihre Perspektive auf die Energieversorgungskrise präsentierten. So tat dies auch Lorraine Chiponda vom Africa Climate Movement of Movements und Don't Gas Africa und brachte die so oft vergessene Perspektive des globalen Südens in die Diskussion ein.
Thank you very much. So as an African activist, I would want to start with a chant. Like that is how in most cases we start our meeting, but I'm going to adopt a chant from South Africa and acknowledging also the other African activists who are here with me. So when I say Amandla, you say Awetu. So maybe we can start an exercise. May you please say Awetu.
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 Exactly. So my African colleagues, please help me. Amandla.
Awetu.
Amandla.
Awetu.
Thank you very much. It means the power is ours. Power belongs to the people. So thank you for that. So the Don't Gas Africa is a collective campaign or a gas movement which represents multiple voices of resistance across Africa of people that are pushing back on the dash for gas in Africa. So to make it clear, Africa has always had gas reserves, and 40% of the recently discovered gas reserves are from Africa. But however, it was not a major threat because Africa did not have the finance, the technology, the capacity to explore the gas in Africa. So it lay there. Of course, we had pockets of gas projects in Africa, but it was not majorly a huge threat. However, the energy and cost of living crisis pushed by the invasion of Ukraine resulted in a dash for gas in Africa by corporations, by governments from Europe, right? And we've seen our own African leaders auctioning pieces of land to companies from Europe, to governments in Europe. We have seen countries such as Tanzania, Senegal, Morocco, Egypt, all now speaking about gas and investing in gas in Africa. And some of the countries I would like to highlight that have resulted in this dash for gas include Germany. They include Italy, including France, and many other companies from Europe that have pushed for the dash for gas in Africa. And the dash for gas in Africa is very much short-sighted. And the Europe Gas Conference, if I should say, is a representation of systems of oppression that have affected African people. And the issue of energy colonialism or energy extraction in Africa has got a nasty taste in African people's mouths because of the origins of that. We all know that extractivism in Africa and extraction of energy came about as a result of colonization. And now we're seeing a repetition of the same colonial tendencies, whereby global powers, global finance capital infrastructure is still coming to Africa to exploit Africa. And the dash for gas in Africa represents or means for African people loss of land, loss of livelihood alternatives. Much of the gas projects are happening in areas where we have people accessing their livelihoods, such as the fishermen in Senegal who have been displaced by the BP, such as in South Africa again, where fishermen are again displaced. So that is what the dash for gas means for Africa. And the dash for gas in Africa is not meant to feed the energy poverty in Africa, whereby 600 million people in Africa are living in energy poverty. All of the gas, all the pipelines are leading out of Africa, which means that it's, again, energy exclusion, energy apartheid, right? So again, for us, the issue of gas in Africa is not a question for Africa's development. It's not an issue to remedy energy poverty, right? But it is an issue which is again representing multiple systems of oppression in Africa. So again, the Power to the People conference to us, it represents us taking back our power. It represents us challenging systems of oppression, global finance architecture, global powers, political elites that want to perpetuate systems of oppression in Africa. The Power to the People of the Power to the People conference represents and energizes us to take back our power from corporations, to take back our power from all systems of oppression, because we believe that the power lies with us. And I want to just and just to end on this note that as African civil society groups, as African communities, as African people, we are here to challenge the Europe Gas Conference. We want to build an alternative future for Africa, for and also even to disrupt the current energy systems as they exist. Because when you talk about a transition away from fossil fuels, we're not just talking about moving away from fossil fuels to renewable energy. It's not as simple as that for African people. When you talk about a transition, we're talking about revamping, turning the tables, changing the systems as they exist, as they are. And these systems include changing the global finance infrastructure. I'm happy that my colleague here mentioned the issue of climate debt, the issue of climate reparations. Africa right now is sitting at the front lines of a climate crisis. Year in, year out, we've seen an intensification of climate disasters. We have all heard maybe about Cyclone Freddy, which has affected Mozambique. Zimbabwe has also been affected, and now Malawi, where hundreds of people are dying because of Cyclone Freddy, and infrastructure has been devastated and affected, all because corporations want to make a little bit of profit, right? And it should be obscene that corporations, at a time where we have a global health crisis that we're just coming out of, whereby we're having a global climate crisis, health crisis, and we see corporations making profits during such times, we should be challenging and questioning that. So I end by saying, don't gas Africa. Gas is not for Africa. It's not for anywhere else in the world. Thank you very much.
Wenig später folgte ein nicht weniger spannender und beliebter Beitrag von Joe Davis von Don't Pay UK, der seine Sicht und Forderungen auf die Cost of Living Crisis im Vereinigten Königreich vorstellte.
Hello there, so I'm Joe from London, Don't Pay UK. As every good British idea begins, Don't Pay UK started with a group of friends in a pub. That was serious. We got together as a grassroots campaign because we noticed that after April 2021, when a price cap was set initially, that energy prices started to increase. Now, personally, I saw over £1,000 worth of savings go down the drain towards heating bills and a cost of living crisis that I'm sure that we're all feeling at the moment. We found that this wasn't fair, and it disproportionately affected those who are most vulnerable in society, including the elderly, people with disabilities, including neurodivergence, and also single-parent households. So we got together as a group to try and get as many people as we can to do a mass non-payment campaign. Now, this is not something that doesn't have history in Britain, and certainly is not something that doesn't have history in other countries around the world as well. In Britain, in the 1980s, there was a rather lovely woman named Margaret Thatcher who decided that the best thing to do for our country and the union itself was to sell off all of the energy companies to private ownership. And over the decades afterwards, it only meant that prices increased, even though competition was supposed to keep them low. A classic capitalist lie. So, we took some of the lessons from what were called the poll tax riots in the UK, where 4 million people agreed to not pay a tax that was equal across all peoples, which sounds like a good idea, until you realize that it affected the rich and the poor equally. Equal does not always mean good. Sometimes you actually want egalitarianism. We managed to get, so far, 260,000 people to sign up to voluntarily cancel their direct debits. Now, direct debits, for those who don't know, it's one of the best ways for companies to keep that revenue flowing, because it means they have a guaranteed source of income every single month. 1 million people paying £100 a month is 100 million that they can tell future investors that they are guaranteed to get every single month. Instead, we asked people to stop paying altogether so that we could try and meet our three main goals. Number one, to reverse the price cap back to the April 2021 levels. Now, this energy price cap is not necessarily a price cap on how much you're going to spend for a year. It's how much you will spend on a kilowatt hour itself, which, not particularly expensive, but considering that people have entire homes to heat, well, that racks up. The second was to make sure that prepayment meters were no longer being installed. Now, I'm not sure if this is something that Austria has. I'm not sure if it's something that other countries have. But in the UK, if you are really down on your luck when it comes to energy bills, you will be fitted with a prepayment meter. I've had one of these myself in the past when I was a student and hanging on every bit of money that I could get from the government. And it involves you putting a card or a USB-style stick into a box with some money on it. And if that money runs out in the middle of a shower on a Sunday, you don't have hot water. It can get worse. Because if you run out of the emergency credit on that prepayment meter, you don't just lack electricity, but you will lack power to your entire home. If you are trying to cook food for your children, they will have to eat something cold. If you are trying to heat a relative that is staying with you because they are unable to get the care responsibilities they need through lack of funds, you will have to invest in blankets that you can't afford or a space heater that will waste even more money that you do not have. It is also the most expensive way to pay for energy in the UK. It costs more money for someone on a prepayment meter to heat noodles than it will for someone with millions and millions of pounds worth of assets to heat their private swimming pool. The third and final point that we were trying to make sure happened was that nobody should be forced to choose between heating and eating, a phrase that we never thought This is a phrase we never thought we'd have to hear in one of the so-called most developed nations in the world. But unfortunately, people have had to choose between heating and eating. Increasingly, in food banks up and down the country and in the entire union, we are seeing people having to get food that you do not have to cook simply because they don't have access to heat even for that. Let's make one thing abundantly clear. This is because of energy company war profiteering. Ukraine has been a humanitarian crisis. Of course it has. And these companies have taken that humanitarian crisis and also taken capitalism to its natural conclusion, which is to use something as abhorrent as the invasion of Ukraine to increase their profit. They will line their pockets with your money because they can. This is the same thing we see with things like shrinkflation, where objects get smaller for the same price so that they can make sure that their dividends are paid to shareholders and that they don't have to go back to their investors to ask for more money. than they already have. This is simply not fair. It has worked in the past to not pay. The woman that I mentioned beforehand, Margaret Thatcher, she was ousted because of the poll tax riots. And another female prime minister just happened to be ousted not so recently. Now, because of, in no small part, I can't take full credit, in no small part to the Don't Pay UK campaign, which was described as an existential threat to the energy industry in the UK by E.ON, the largest gas company, gas and electric company in the UK, and indeed one of the largest in Europe. Because of this, our Chancellor, Kwasi Kwarteng, was forced to U-turn, as well as Liz Truss, and Liz Truss did lose in a race against the lettuce, which we were all watching with great joy. So, where do we go from here? Spring is sprung, which does mean that trying to mobilise people on feeling cold gets a little bit more tricky. However, some of you may not know that energy companies, they stock up on money during the winter because you have to pay more by definition. That money is credit in your account. That money is credit in everyone in the UK's accounts. And that money can be taken back legally, fairly, and is absolutely your right to do so. The newest movement from the Don't Pay UK campaign is to try and claim back that credit to further force these companies to go to the government again and again to ask for help. That's not to say that this campaign hasn't been fraught with difficulties. We know that during just before the new year, 30,000 prepayment meters were manufactured and in storage by multiple different companies in order to put them in whenever they felt like it. It took 3 minutes of a court's time to decide to give 400 vulnerable individuals prepayment meters. It was not decided one at a time. It was not decided person to person. It was not decided situation to situation. It was decided in a block because they want that cash. We knew that in December of last year, the 250,000 of us that had joined the campaign were also joined, not voluntarily, by 3 million people behind on their bills. They could not pay. It is not a case of I don't want to pay for these people. It is a case of I have no option not to. And they are being punished for it. This is simply not right. There are movements across the globe for mass non-payment, as there have been for many years, and there are movements across the globe to take back that control. So finally, I say to you, the power is in your hands. Whether it is electricity, gas, or your own freedom, power to the people have the power.
Ich würde euch gerne noch viele weitere Highlights der Konferenz vorspielen, doch wir nähern uns schon langsam dem Ende der Sendung. Ziel der Konferenz war es natürlich, nicht nur die Köpfe zusammenzustecken und im kleinen Rahmen zu diskutieren, sondern auch öffentlich wirksam aufzutreten. Dies ist mit den Aktionstagen, einer großen Demo und einer Pressekonferenz vor vielen Medienvertreterinnen auch gelungen. Zum Abschluss dieser Folge möchte ich euch eben noch das Fazit der Konferenz von Max auf der genannten Pressekonferenz vorspielen und mich auch wieder von der heutigen Sendung verabschieden. Vielen Dank fürs Zuhören. Wir sehen uns nächste Woche. Ciao.
Yeah, hello everyone. I'm Max Hollweg from Attac Austria and I'm speaking today for the Power to the People Conference that took place last weekend as a specific counter summit to the European Gas Conference. Because apart from the protests with thousands of activists who are demanding an end to neo-colonial and profit-driven energy politics that take place these days in Vienna, we really came together and discussed how to bring the energy infrastructure into the hands of the many. While the criminal gas lobby, investors and politicians are negotiating the future of our energy infrastructure behind closed doors at the moment and very close to here, also very, very well protected by the state and its repressive police forces. Yeah, we could see that yesterday and also today, right now. The Power to the People conference was open for everybody. It brought together more than 600 people from many, many parts of the world. And among them, like some of the really most affected areas of gas extractivism. Many participants of the Power to the People conference have been on the streets yesterday. Many are today, and many will continue in the coming hours to protest peacefully against the conference full of criminal fossil lobbyists, including the OMV, OMV, which is one of the biggest profiteers of the energy crisis in Austria. So, but what are the conclusions? What are the outcomes of the conference, of our counter-summit that we held the last weekend? The energy system in Europe is deeply undemocratic and intransparent. After decades of liberalization, market power and profits of the large energy companies in Europe have steadily increased. The energy markets, as they are built, enable financial speculation to maximize revenues for the shareholders and not to supply energy for the people. It actually drives people into energy poverty. And after all, it fuels the climate catastrophe, which we are facing right now. The transformation of the energy as an object of financial speculation has made this possible. It's actually centered around like profit maximization and a non-transparent stock exchange, instead of ensuring the energy production and distribution as organized around the common good and ecological principles. The directors of those companies are trying to close the new deals right now. Deals about infrastructures that lock us into dependency of fossil fuels for decades. Because they have got unprecedented access to political decision-making processes everywhere, and especially in the European Union right now. This is what we are protesting, and this is what we are building alternatives on. The profit-oriented market must be replaced by a democratically controlled and cooperative energy system. So, large energy companies, which are currently making billions in profits from the basic right to energy, must be collectivized and socialized. Therefore, very concretely, private and public energy suppliers should be transformed into organizational bodies. Bodies whose main goal is to supply the people and to produce basic goods and services for everyone. So only if we really take public control over the energy sector, we will be able to get out of gas. It's a fight we are all in together as a society. We need the participation of the many. That's what we've did. What we've done on the weekend at the Power to the People conference. That include really also the workers of the energy sectors, consumers and small producers. Only then we can really assure a clean and affordable access to energy for all. So I just want to call it like we united, we have to call for democratization of the energy politics, reduction of energy use, shutting down gas and fossil infrastructure, and ending the neo-colonial energy projects. That includes also debt cancellations for countries in the global south. That includes like financing of climate justice instead of funding fossil projects anywhere. So we've got a vision, we've got a plan. We've discussed it during the weekend a lot. There is a way out of this. While gas companies are burning our future at the moment, we can really unite and spark alternative. So it's a call, let's unite, let's build an energy system that provides affordable and clean energy for all. Now and everywhere. We have to get local and public control instead of corporate power, and let's bring the energy system into the hands of so many. Thanks.
Thank you, Max.
Radio Attack gibt es auch im Internet unter www.radioattack.at.
Fitting for a king.
got